If you will open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he, meaning Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Would you pray with me? Father God, in these moments, would your Holy Spirit move in this place? And so as we turn to your word, we may join the crowd in saying, "We have never seen anything like this." We are your servants, and we are listening. So would you open our ears to hear what it is you want us to hear? And Father God, would you help us in hearing these things be who it is you want us to be? And Father, ultimately then, would you help us do what it is you want us to do? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You see a guy standing on the corner, cardboard sign that says, "Anything helps." You drive by and whisper to yourself, "God helps those who help themselves." Your kid has been praying for a new Xbox. They tell you about this prayer. You suggest they start making some money because God helps those who help themselves. When I was a chaplain working with college students, one week, a finals week of all times, one of the students came to me elated. And she said, "Jamie, I did the math and I only need 107 on my biology exam to pass the class." Confused, I said, "Kelly, is there a chance for extra credit on said exam?" She said, "Well, no." I said, "Well, so why are you so excited?" She said, "Because God can do anything if I just have faith." As she skipped away, I was thinking, God can't help you because you haven't done enough to help yourself. Needless to say, she switched majors from pre-med to communications the next semester. This is the third week in our series of things that we may have thought all these years were in the Bible, of words that we've heard so much that we might actually think there was some time in history on some holy mountain where God proclaimed them out loud, only to revisit them and find maybe they're not in the Bible at all. Today's phrase, "God helps those who help themselves." Is that who God helps? What do you think? What's your hunch? Word gets out that Jesus is at home. You ever think about Jesus having a home? I wonder how his home was decorated. You ever think of that? Would it be like a bachelor pad, because he was a bachelor and he wasn't around much? Or would it be some holy place? Or would it be just like everybody else's home in Capernaum? I can't help but wonder what kind of food was in his kitchen. Had the little ladies in Capernaum come and brought him some covered dishes? Or did he have like a week's supply of the first century equivalent of Salisbury steak TV dinners? Because isn't that what single guys eat at home? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But these are the kind of questions that keep me up at night. Because I'm weird, I know. What we do know is that Jesus is home. And word gets out in Capernaum that their hometown boy who's making waves all over Galilee is back, hanging out at home for a little while. This Jesus, this one who is saying that God's kingdom has come, this one who's out there casting out demons and healing the sick and cleansing lepers, they say, he's just a few blocks away. Let's go see him. And before he knows it, Jesus' house is packed full. So much for a little staycation in Capernaum, if that's what he had in mind. There would be no such thing for Jesus. In his home, standing room only, people in every nook and cranny. The Capernaum fire marshal would have had a fit if he had seen the scene, but it mattered not because Jesus was home. And no one in town was going to dare miss what he might have to say and what he might have to do. And in that place, choosing to come and hang out where Jesus hangs out, this crowd gets to hear Jesus himself speak to them. They would become some of the first in the entire world to hear the good news with their own ears. That after centuries of waiting, they were some of the first who got to hear the kingdom of God had come. God's plan was being accomplished through their neighbor, Jesus. Some of the first ones to hear that there was now a way for captives to be set free, for the hopeless to have hope, for those in deep despair to begin to leap for joy, for the lost to be found, for the aimless to have purpose, for the dead to breathe. The first to get to hear this kind of thing. And you know, I bet that most of the folks who showed up at Jesus' house that day, they didn't even come looking for help. But I can guarantee you that everyone left that place that day, knowing that they would never be the same. Because when you truly encounter Jesus where he hangs out, when you make your home in his home, you never leave that place unchanged, or unnoticed, or unhelped. Who does God help, we ask today? On that day, he helped those who came near to him. And on this day too, God helps those who show up to the places that they are sure he's hanging out. God helps those who stop at nothing to be near to him. Now I know what you're thinking. God is equally present everywhere all the time. Yes, I understand that. It is true. But wouldn't you agree with me that there are some places where we are much more likely to encounter him than others? Some places we are more aware of his presence among us. Some places where we are more open to receiving his help than others. For the people in Capernaum, they thought that they might have a pretty good chance of running into Jesus and receiving help from him if they were, I don't know, hanging out in his living room. That makes sense to me. Here we are 2,000 years later. The question is, what is the equivalent of Jesus' living room for you today? Where do you go where you know you can get in touch with his heartbeat, where you know you can hear his voice, where you know you'll sense his presence every time? Is there some place in your life that you return to for this very thing? Maybe this right here is that place. Capernaum, it's a long ways away from us. Jesus' house there, if you tried to find it today, it would just be a pile of rubble. But his willingness to be at home with us, to show up to us as we show up to him is the very same today as it was back then. Who does God help? God helps those who take every opportunity to be near to him. Last week in our restored ministry, where this group of folks keep showing up week after week, saying each time, I need some help. And I believe that Jesus is my helper in this place. My group was taught this saying from AA. Some of you guys will know it. We ended the meeting like this by saying, keep coming back. It works when you work it, and you're worth it. Simply put, what we were saying is God helps those who show up where he hangs out and who keep showing up again and again until their help has come. Anybody need some help today? Identify where Jesus' living room is in your life. Where that place is that you know you're going to find him every time, and show up in that place and keep showing up. Because it's true, it works when you work it. God helps those who show up to him. Some more people arrive at Jesus' home. They're late. Don't you hate being the last to arrive in a crowded place? In our culture, if you're late to worship, you have to sit on the very front row. Not so back then. Back then, there were no good Baptists yet. They hadn't come around. Front seats were already taken. All the seats were taken. The late were simply left outside. But these ones on this day, they were late for a reason. And we don't even know who they are. Mark just calls them some people. But they weren't just any people. Not when you start to read the story. They were people with a great compassion. It would seem that on the way to Jesus' house that day, these people came across a man and his mat, and they realized he was paralyzed. Mark doesn't say that they have any relation to this man at all. He doesn't say that they were his brothers or his neighbors. He just says they were some people. But not just any people. These are the kind of people who see desperation and cannot turn away. These are the kind of people who see abandonment and cannot ignore it. These are the kind of people who, inconvenient as it may be, feel responsible inside their beings for the well-being of all other people. These are the kind of people who, when they know that Jesus is near and they see someone who needs nothing more in life than Jesus, they cannot for the life of them leave that person behind. We don't know who they were, but we know what kind of people they were. These were mat carriers. Are we those kind of people? One grabbed each corner. And slowly, awkwardly, they proceeded to Jesus' home. You ever tried to carry dead weight? How about on a mat down a dirt road? It's not easy. And when they finally arrive late, their hearts sink. Because here they're carrying the one who might need Jesus the very most in their town, and yet there is no way to get to him. Do you feel like some of the people in your life who need Jesus the most have the most obstacle standing between them and him? Tell these guys about that. They know. They could have dropped the mat on the lawn and at least maneuvered their own way into the house so they didn't miss their chance to see Jesus. It doesn't happen. They refuse to give up on getting this guy to the Savior. Who in your life are you refusing to give up on getting to Jesus these days? Whose mat are you carrying around, refusing to leave them behind until they found their way into the Savior's house? Who is it? And who should it be? they climb the roof and they start digging. These houses in the first century, they were made of all kinds of things from the earth, rocks and packed dirt. Imagine this. Jesus' own house. He's in the middle of a room teaching to this sellout crowd, and they start hearing up above them this sound of shovels and banging, and his roof begins to crumble. Jesus' own roof of his own house falling down around him while he's trying to preach a sermon. And I think that a baby crying is distracting sometimes. Try to preach while your house is being destroyed above you and around you. Eventually, this hole is big enough, and they let this man down with his mat right at Jesus' feet. Now, hear this. If you get nothing else this morning, get this. Don't miss this. Verse 5, look at it. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Wait, what? That's not good Baptist theology. When Jesus saw what? Their faith. Whose faith? Those people who believed for this guy that Jesus might be able to help, to save. When Jesus heard the paralyzed man say, help me, he saved him? No, that's not what happened. This man never says a single word in the entire story. His faith didn't get him help. Notice that. It was their faith. These somebodies, I don't even get a name, who were stubborn enough to do whatever it took to get this paralyzed, abandoned man before the King of Kings. These somebodies who wouldn't let an obstacle, be it a flimsy mat or dead weight or a massive crowd or a fancy roof, keep them from throwing this one before the Savior, ushering him into Jesus' living room to see if maybe his help might come. Who does God help? God helps those who God's people help. God helps those who God's people refuse to give up on. God helps those who have folks in their lives who will stop at nothing to get them into the living room of Jesus Christ. Those who God helps, that's them. People of God, in this place this morning, whose mat are you carrying today? Who are you determined to get into Jesus' living room? No matter what, it matters that you know who it is. I shared with you all a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to send you a letter later on this week, fleshing out even more how God has been stirring in my heart this call to do whatever it takes to get our teenagers into Jesus' living room. A few weeks back, we looked at how Mason County teens have unacceptably high rates of poverty and teen pregnancy and dropping out of high school and depression and thoughts of suicide. And I told you about how the more I hear our kids' stories, the more my heart simply breaks for them. And at summer camp, the majority of our kids began to share their stories just in bits. And most of them, many of them, spoke of homes where alcoholism and drugs are daily realities for them. Too many of them spoke of abuse. And whenever they shared about where their hearts are with God around the end of the week, almost every single youth that is part of our church in some shape or form, almost everyone, stated in that question, were things with God, they would say, well, I want to believe that God's good. And I want to believe that God's real. And I want to believe that God loves me. But if he is, and if he does, then why? And fill in the blank. then why do I go home to the same darkness day after day, year after year? Then why does my dad keep hurting me? Then why hasn't God helped me in this crisis? And today I'm more convinced than ever that just telling these kids for 20 minutes on Wednesday nights that Jesus loves them isn't going to get them into his living room. Because there are too many voices in their lives every day telling them otherwise. And so I'm dreaming big of BCC becoming a place that looks like Jesus' living room for our kids. A place with the lights on and the doors open and the fridge stocked at least every weeknight. A place where our kids know that if they show up, someone will be glad that they're there. A place that they can get real tools to help them in life to follow their dreams. A place where they will never have to question for a second if they're seen and if they belong and if they have purpose and if they are loved. And truth is, I'm nervous to pitch this vision because it's so strong on my heart, but I am quite aware that it requires some heavy lifting. It requires some folks who are refusing to stop until our teens have a place where they don't just hear about the love of Jesus, but where they get to hang out and make themselves at home in that love. Truth is, we've got a whole bunch of kids at risk of becoming paralyzed. And we are a whole bunch of folks in this place who would be really good at picking up a corner of that mat and saying on this kid's behalf, not on my watch. You're not gonna get stuck on my watch because I can carry a corner of a mat. Because God helps those who his people help. Who are you carrying into Jesus' living room today? And will you help us get our youth there? God helps those we help. It's true. And then did you notice the very first word that Jesus speaks to the paralyzed man? The very first word he speaks to him. What is it? This is a real question. What is it? Son. Son. Remember those people who carried him to Jesus? Remember how we have no indication that they even knew who this guy was? This detail matters. Because in that day and time, what you may not know is that if someone was disabled, they became their father's responsibility. It was on the dad's shoulders to see that this disabled child got all the care that he or she might need for their whole life long. And so somewhere along the line, it's apparent this man's family let him down. At some point way back when, they decided that he was simply more trouble than he was worth. He was too hard to have around. Any of you ever been made to feel like that from the people who were supposed to love you the most? That you just carry too much baggage with you. Not welcome at home. There was one real day in his life that this man was completely disowned. Left alone in this world to try and help himself. No one to call his own. He lost everything. And these strangers pick him up and dig a hole in this holy guy's roof. And they lay him down. And they interrupt his teaching after destroying his house. And can you imagine the anxiety this man must have felt in that moment? He's always just been a burden. And great, now he's set up once again for more embarrassment, for more shame. Now here he is messing up somebody else's home. And Jesus looks at him. Not the least bit annoyed, and he says, son. Did you know there's no one else in the Gospels that Jesus calls son? He says, son. Son, do you know how long it had been since the this guy had heard that word spoken to him. Son, Jesus says to the man who could do nothing to help himself, nothing to honor anyone, who couldn't even take himself to the bathroom, who couldn't even get to Jesus' house without four people choosing to have pity on him, this man who was the epitome of helplessness, Jesus says, Son, I see you. I'm not ashamed of you. I know you. I claim you. I will take responsibility for you. I love you. I will help you. Son, your sins are forgiven. Stand up, take your mat, and go home. Back to those people who hurt you. Go home and find your home among them for the very first time. Son, I'm here to help you. And so it turns out, our God helps those who can't do a thing in the world to help themselves. A woman caught in adultery. The law says she must be stoned, and the Pharisees eager to see that that happens. They drag her to Jesus, and she has no defense. Helpless. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. God helps those who have gotten themselves in such a bind that they can't help themselves out. Jesus is hanging out in this town called Nain one day, and this funeral goes by, and he sees this mother wailing for her son who has died. She doesn't even know Jesus is there. She doesn't even probably know who Jesus is. She doesn't ask any favors of him, doesn't know that she should. It matters not. Jesus sees the scene. He goes over to that coffin and raises that dead boy back to life. God helps those who are grieved by dead ends, who are so stuck behind gravestones that they can't do a thing to help themselves. There is a thief on the cross the day that Jesus dies, and he deserves to be there. He is messed up. In desperation, he cries out, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the very first person promised a place in eternity with the living God, that helpless, dying thief. Today, you will be with me in paradise. God helps those who don't deserve his help at all. Who are those? The desperate, the sinners, the dying, the broken, the weary, the grief-stricken, the stuck, the abandoned, the ashamed. God helps those who aren't doing a thing in the world to help themselves. And before you roll your eyes and say, how annoying is that? Don't forget that you are those, and I am those. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God helps us helpless sinners who can't do a thing to help ourselves. All we can do is humble ourselves and cry out, thanks be to God. Amen. God helps those who help themselves. Ugh. Sometimes maybe. But really, this story in Mark 2 tells us that God just helps those who receive it. Jesus is our rescuer, and he is glad to do it. Need help today? Anybody? Show up at his living room again and again and again. Just be where he is. Know someone who needs help? Pick up their mat and refuse to drop it until they are near to Jesus too. Desperate for help today, but don't know the last thing about how to get to Jesus' house? That's okay. He's quite happy to make his home with you, too. To find you, to see you, to help you when there's not a thing you've got going to help yourself. Just receive his help. And that's where we really get hung up, isn't it? Receiving it, however it comes. Whether it's what we thought we expected or wanted or not. I don't always know when God will help or how he's gonna help, but this I know. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead because at his heart is to be a God who is eager to help, a God who will stop at nothing to rescue, a God who, if we can't find our way to his home, will find his home among us. God helps those who simply receive his help. Let's not add anything cute to it. Scripture keeps it simple enough. God helps those, whoever they are, whatever they've done, who simply receive it. And for all of us who just need some help this morning, we can say together, thanks be to God, because he is eager to help. The question today, will you receive it, however it comes? Will you receive it? Would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, you are indeed our rescuer. The entire cross and empty tomb is a message about a God who helps. Who helps those who could do nothing to help themselves. And we are those. Thank you that 2,000 years ago on a cross you helped us. And thank you that today you are eager to rescue us, to usher us into the life you have for us once again. So often we want to tell you how you need to help us. You need to do it this way and this way and this way, but not this way. Father, forgive us. We are sinking. And when you throw out your life ring and we say, I want the red one instead, we're missing out on the great gift of life you've given us right there. So today, in those places we need help, help us see the doors that you're opening and help us trust your goodness enough to walk through those very doors. We lift our eyes up to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from our God, who loves us and who is with us. And so this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.